Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com.
Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast. This is your co-host, Seth Green. With me is the inventor of the infomercial and the original shark on the hit TV show Shark Tank, Kevin Harrington. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Seth. Awesome to be here. Thank you.
We've got a very exciting guest today, Josh Model from Upsell It. Josh and Upsell It work with enterprise retail and direct-to-consumer brands on conversion rate optimization. And his company has helped brands drive over $500 million in additional revenue in 2023 alone. He was named the winner of the best publisher to work with in 2023 by Affiliate Summit West. He's been a speaker at many of the events we go to, including Affiliate Summit and Digital Summit. Josh, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure. This is one of my favorite podcasts, and so it's certainly something that I'm very excited to be part of.
Awesome. So tell everybody what Upsell It is and does.
Yeah, absolutely. So Upsell It is a conversion rate optimization technology. We operate very much with the affiliate and an agency formats. And our ultimate goal is building on and offsite technologies for direct-to-consumer brands to help really accomplish three primary goals. First is with the identification of on-site anonymous visitors that are bouncing typically early mid-funnel. Second is acquisition-driven, cart abandonment, personalization based off of unique attributes of that visitor so that we can build out and engage in a unique and impactful manner. The third is revenue-driven goals. How do we get as much value out of our visitors as possible? How do we leverage personalization? How do we leverage traits of each individual visitor and customer that's making onto our site so that we can ensure that we're creating an experience that incentivizes action? So at the end of the day, our technology is all action-driven. How do we ensure that we're helping move people down the funnel and doing it in a manner that's value-driven to each individual customer and visitor?
How do you know the backgrounds of the people that are coming in? What's the process for all of that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Taking kind of one step back, we've now almost going on 20 years in business, work with over 600 brands. And one of the unique things about our business model is that despite being a technology, we do very much operate with that SaaS business model. We are a performance-based partner, which is a bit unique in the technology space. And that's really where the affiliate kind of world comes in, where we operate as a technology affiliate. And so essentially what we do is we'll bring on a brand. For example, we can say FedEx or Samsung, some of our larger companies. We'll, again, run audits. We'll understand what are their pain points, what are their goals, what are they trying to accomplish. And then essentially what we're doing is we're getting our tag and pixel placed, typically via a tag manager. That's one thing that we pride ourselves on is when 5 or 10 minutes, your work is done, let us take over from here and start building and start optimizing and start managing. So it's essentially just getting our tag pixel up and we're good to go.
So when somebody is on someone else's site and then they're going to go through Upsell It, do they leave that site and go to your site or is it all done on their site?
Great question. Yeah, all on site. And so there's a very high likelihood that anybody, either of you or anybody that's listening to this is engaged and interacted with our technology in some capacity, but it's all on site. We do have an entire email remarketing suite. But again, it almost, I would say 80% of the time is going to originate on site. How do we put the right message in front of the right visitor, the right stage of the funnel to incentivize action?
And you're talking about your invisible, the consumer who goes and buys something off of Samsung or whatever would have no idea that you were there, but they would receive through your technology from the company they were trying to go to. If they were going to try and go buy Peeps from one of, you know, Kevin's plays, they would get personalized, trait attributed, customized follow-up that would look like it was literally just for them which obviously you've got an incredible track record. Can you talk about the increase in conversions that your technology has been able to create?
Yeah, no, and I think that's a perfect way of putting it. At the end of the day, our motto and the way that we structure things is that, number one, if somebody has every intention of making a purchase and we're trying to leverage some form of acquisition-driven strategy, they should have no idea we exist. Number two, everything we do is custom branded, unique, and specific to each individual brand that we're working with. Now, when we talk about kind of metrics and what we're looking at, in a whole, we work with 28 different industries. And of course, our direct marketing offers are going to be a little bit different than our B partner, is going to be a little bit different than our fashion and consumer electronics. But for us, when we're running off of what we would consider an initial phase one test, which for us is about 60 to 90 days, we want to be at statistical relevance of data. We want to make sure that, number one, we're able to be hyper-focused on one or two areas of opportunity. What we're looking at is we're typically going to see somewhere between 10 to 15% lift. And then, of course, the ultimate goal is how do we optimize from there? One of the things that we often tell new partners that we're getting started with is the work doesn't start when we go live or doesn't end when we go live. It starts when we go live, because so much of the value that we're able to provide as a company and organization is helping to analyze the data. A lot of times brands aren't looking into the micro data points. They're not understanding or segmenting by traffic source based off the type of visitor, based off of where they are in the funnel, based off of if they have product in cart, and so how much do they have in their cart. And so as we're looking at the data and as we're analyzing, how are people engaging with their cart? Are they engaging with their site? We can start to figure out, okay, well, we're noticing trends A, B, and C. We're seeing an 8% lift, which is fantastic. But we also know that if we optimize in these two, three areas, we're going to ideally see X, Y, and Z. And so it's a constant iteration and constant kind of phasing out approach as we learn and as we get an understanding of how people are interacting with their specific site.
Do you actually bring upsell ideas to the table for the clients, or do they typically already have these ideas?
Yeah, So it's a little bit of both. I would say most of the optimization ideas come from us. Although one thing that we like to tell our partners is, at the end of the day, we want this to be collaboration. We don't ask for long-term contracts. That's a huge value add that we provide. We want to prove impact, and we want to prove it quickly so that we can grow and scale with the brand. And so typically when we're starting conversations with companies and with brands, you ask 100 brands, 100 are going to say, what do you want to do? I want to inverse conversion rate, right? I want to increase new to file a customer acquisition. That's going to be 100 out of 100 times the brand's goal. But then you start to look into kind of some of the sub branches of that. Okay, what exactly does that mean? Is it strictly new to file? Are you dealing with retention issues? Are you seeing one purchase and they never come back? Is your AOV significantly lower than you would like it to be? And so we talk through a lot of these things up front so that we can build out a roadmap and say, okay, number one goal is you're at a 2.4% conversion rate. We know that we can get you to a 5%. Let's build something out to get there. At the same time, we also know that your AOV is $64. We want to get it to XYZ. Perfect. This is going to be phase two. And so we're not an advocate. We're not a fan of doing everything at once, because we, number one, want to be hyper-focused on the success of one thing, showcasing impact. We want to make sure they're able to see the impact and the revenue increase that we're seeing. But it also allows us to be focused on something, one specific tactic at a time. And we move quick. We have typically, when we're building out teams, myself, of course, my team from a strategy perspective, but you know, we have an internal design team. There's 10 design members of our team. We have 5 copywriters, we have 25 developers, and each kind of brand that we bring on board will have 5 or 6 members of the team, some behind the scenes, more on the development and design side. But we are hyper-focused on really analyzing what's going on so that we can start to come up with new ideas that they might not have thought of.
And the recent changes with Google and Yahoo this year and the ones of iOS the last year or two, have that made your job harder, or has it made what your data providing more valuable because we can't track a lot of other ways?
Yeah. That's a great question. I figured that would come up. Astronomically more valuable. It is so much harder for an anonymous visitor that makes it onto, you know, site A that bounces off without taking any action to do anything with them. And so the ultimate goal now becomes, well, if I have a visitor on my site, they're clearly there for a reason. It could be informational based research, or let's use an apparel company. They're in the market to buy a t-shirt. Whether they buy it from you or not, it's a different question. And our job is to figure out how do we provide enough value to where they do want to take action. And that action can be as simple as identifying who they are, capturing an email. So now we have a first party opted-in user that's owned by the brand, or ultimately driving them towards conversion. And so what we found is brands are more likely now to want to ramp up quicker, simply because once somebody bounces off a site, if they're not logged in or if they've never provided any piece of information, whether that's an email or a cell phone number, it's much more difficult for them to get them back.
Awesome. Do you partner with people across the board or is it a service-based? What kind of structure do you put together with your clients?
Yeah. So it is a fully managed service-based partnership. We integrate into many different external tools that our partners would, of course, need transparency and access. We have, of course, very robust backend reporting dashboards. If we're operating as a technology affiliate, which out of our 600 brands, I'd say probably about 400 to 450 are, it's easy. It's great for reconciliation. Everything is taken care of through the network. We can figure out a fair CPA to work off of and simply go in one click of a button. The contractual aspect of it is taken care of. But there's also going to be instances where if we are leveraging, I'll give you a great example of the cart saver technology. Imagine a visitor that makes it onto brand A. And if one thing that's very common in today's day and age is entrance modal pop-ups where, hey, give me an email address. Here's 10% off. Almost every brand across the board is doing that. The issue with that for the average retailer, unless there's some crazy brand that has incredible brand recognition, that if I don't know anything about your brand, I'm probably not going to give you a piece of information until I learn about what your products look like. And so our method and our methodology is, as we learn more about the customer, how are they navigating your site? What products are they looking at? Are they coming back and looking at multiple in the same category? Are they looking at the same size, the same style? Are they building out a cart? Then once we have a little bit more insight into who this visitor is and what they care about, if we're at risk of losing them, let's create a dynamic and personalized experience in terms of how we're engaging on exit. Let's dynamically pull in cart contents. Do we know that they're eligible for a discount? Perfect. Let's pull that in and then dynamically calculate their new subtotal so that we can actually put a tangible number in front of them instead of something that's somewhat ambiguous. And so when we're able to personalize the experience a little bit deeper in the funnel when we're at risk of losing customers, the chances of them of giving us an email go up astronomically. We ran a study about a year ago, a year and a half ago, where we looked at well over 1 million data points. And that's exactly what we're trying to gather. What is the difference in static messaging? Everyone sees the same thing. First, dynamic, aligning messaging, especially on abandonment, with elements of their journey. And simply by moving from static to dynamic, we saw somewhere between an 8 to 10% lift. And that was across every industry, independent of the tactic. So that's something that we very much prioritize is how do we personalize the experience as granular as we possibly can for each on-site visitor?
Right. Who is an ideal client for you? Are there minimums in terms of how much traffic has to hit their site? Are there minimums in terms of how much revenue they've got to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. Being a, for most of our partners, a 100% performance-based partner, as you guys know, both running and building massively successful businesses, it's not cheap to build technologies and run through design and our copy team, and they all have to get paid and they're all incredibly talented. And so typically for the average brand, we're looking for brands that are doing on average somewhere between 50 to 100 sales a day. Again, it doesn't mean that brands that are doing a little bit less than that don't work. If a brand is doing 4 or 5 sales a day, they're probably not ready for us. But typically that 50 to 100 sales a day is right in line with what we're looking at.
And if you're working with brands like Samsung and FedEx, I'm guessing there's not a maximum number you can't handle.
No maximum. The great thing about brands like a Samsung or any of the fashion, we have 100 different fashion apparel brands, Fendi, Gucci, Kenneth Cole, Marc Jacobs, Stella McCartney, is that the more that's going on the site, the more complex, the more that ties into the success of what we're doing, because the more we can personalize the experience, the more data points we have on each individual customer and visitor and how they're navigating and what would make sense for them. And so the easy answer is no. But the more that's going on, for example, we work in 14 different countries with Samsung. And so each iteration is slightly different. And so because of that, because our technology is all neural logic and execution based, we can personalize it based off of an unlimited amount of variables.
Seth, this is awesome. I need to introduce Josh to my son, Brian, because Brian's dealing with dozens of clients that are doing monthly sales that need more income. This is one of the biggest things that I've talked about is two numbers that you focus on: customer acquisition cost and then the average order value and how to increase that average order value. And that's what you're doing. So you're speaking our language. Love to see how we could. We do events every month called Spend a Day with the Shark. And we bring 15 companies in. They hang with us for a day. We show them all the different things we're doing. This might be a nice product to be able to offer some of these, because most of these people, at least half of them, are in commerce mode.
Yeah. That would be fantastic. Seth, I think we might have briefly touched upon that. We were chatting a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, Kevin, I think that would be a great fit and more than this conversation.
Super. So let's do that. I'd love to introduce you to some of the right people. And it's a good hanging out with you today to understand your business. And Seth, any last questions?
Josh, your passion's obvious. What do you like best about what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm a passionate guy. It's not hard to pick up on. My favorite thing, bar none, is working with brands. And you'd be shocked at how many household name brands are really struggling and, quite frankly, don't necessarily know what they're doing, especially when it comes to optimization. And so being able to take a brand that has a ton of money invested into their marketing channel, that is allocating it incredibly poorly and saying, this is what we need to do. We need to reallocate some of this budget into optimizing your on-site experience. Because one of the analogies I like to use is it doesn't matter if you have one visitor on your site or a million. If you can't convert them, it doesn't matter. And so you need to have a strong optimization strategy no matter what. Because if not, you're going to lose customers and you're going to leave revenue on the table. And so at the end of the day, being able to go 6 months down the line, a year down the line, and we just added 10, 15, 20% to their top line revenue is a really good feeling. And I just love the people in this space, in this industry. And so that makes it even better.
Nice. Awesome. This has been Seth Green with Kevin Harrington for Sharkpreneur, interviewing Josh Model from Upsell It. Josh, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much, Seth, Kevin. And yeah, we'll definitely catch up. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. We will talk to you or see you next time.
Thank you. Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.